Working Cows Podcast, Episode 65.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Clay Connery here, host of the Working Cows Podcast, brought to you by the Global Ag Network. Sitting down with a couple of folks today from the Kavira Coalition. Sarah Wenzel Fisher is the executive director of the Kavira Coalition. Sam Ryerson is a board member of the Kavira Coalition and also a 2010 graduate of their apprenticeship program, the New Agrarians, and that is why I've invited them on here today. Now through the end of the year, I know it's a short timeline, short notice here, but they have applications open to their apprenticeship program. And I'll mention this on the front end. The show notes page for today's episode will be workingcows.net/65. You can go there and check out the links to all the different apprenticeships that they have, specifically the one that we'll be talking today with Sarah and Sam about, the Triangle P Cattle Company. And you can go there and check that option out. And if you feel so inclined after listening to my discussion with Sarah and Sam, you can sign up and be in the running to be an apprentice on that operation. There is a wide diversity of other opportunities there as well. But for now, let's just start talking to Sarah and Sam about the opportunities that the New Agrarians Apprenticeship Program affords young people who are looking to hone their skills or get into the ranching industry. Sarah, Sam, thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows Podcast.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Sarah, you are with the Kavira Coalition in an official capacity and have been part of the program for a while, and you guys have been running an apprenticeship program for a while. Could you just tell me the purpose of the apprenticeship program, why you started it, and kind of some of the history of it?
Absolutely. I might back up even a little bit further. So I'm the director of the Kavira Coalition. We're a small nonprofit based in Santa Fe, but we work sort of all over the western United States. One of our main programs is a ranching apprenticeship program, and it started about 10 years ago. The organization itself started as a way to get conservationists and ranchers to talk to each other about land health. And about 10 years ago, they recognized that one of the major challenges that the agriculture community was facing more broadly was the fact that people are leaving the profession, new people aren't replacing them. And so that was, the program was initially inspired by George Witten and Julie Sullivan, who run the San Juan Ranch in the San Luis Valley in southern Colorado. And Julie was a experiential educator, and George is a third-generation rancher there. And they were longtime members of Kavira and came to the director at the time proposing to this idea of an apprenticeship program. Since that time, the program has grown slowly until the last couple of years. We've offered 3 to 5 apprenticeships a year until about 2 years ago, when we really decided that we would like to expand the program. Part of the motivation for the program also is to create career pathways for young people who want to enter careers in agriculture, who maybe are not coming from families that are in agriculture. Those hands-on experiences are hard to come by, particularly in the ranching world. And so we decided to try to create a context in which people could do that, and also create not an incredibly formal, but to a degree a more formalized educational experience to learn about working on a ranch. So yeah, that's the new agrarian program. It's in its 10th year this year, and we will have we will offer, I think, 13 or 14 apprenticeships this year, so that's pretty exciting.
Very cool. Yeah, I have been looking at the list of the apprenticeships that you have, and I was just talking to my dad the other day, and I said, you know, part of my challenge at the Working Cows podcast is not to betray my own ignorance and show my myself as the greenhorn, I guess, sometimes, and so I'm trying to just be have an open mind and try to learn, and so sheep have become a very interesting thing to me as far as an opportunity in the livestock industry, maybe an untapped opportunity, especially in Western South Dakota. And so I said, you know, that I feel like sometimes I'm struggling just to keep my nose above water with the podcast and different things like that. Sheep would be, you know, even more of a challenge than that. So this apprenticeship in Malta, Montana is pretty tempting to me to go and spend some time learning from someone who's, you know, doing that. And I can see where somebody who is new to ranching altogether, new to the lifestyle altogether, would really benefit from a program like this and the opportunity to be involved for the first time in some of these experiences with a teacher by their side, helping them to understand why and how and some of the things that we're doing. So are they pretty much one apprentice per ranch? Is that about how it works out, or do some ranches host multiple apprentices?
In a typical year, most of our mentors will take on one apprentice, but increasingly what we see is that mentors who've been in the program for a while often will invite an apprentice who's worked out really well for them to come back and do an advanced apprenticeship for a second year, and then we'll bring on a first-year apprentice, and that kind of creates some nice continuity in the learning process, where you have, you know, the mentors who have a lot of experience, you have a second-year apprentice who has one season under their belt, and then somebody who's coming in probably with less experience, and, you know, that just makes the learning experience more rich. And I think one of the ways in which we will be expanding the program in coming years is really looking at what does that second year apprenticeship look like, and what are things that you can learn in the second season on a ranch that you can't necessarily pick up in your first year.
And Sam, what is your history with the apprenticeship program? How have you been involved in it? How did you come to be involved in it?
Well, it goes back a while to around the time the program was starting. I was the second apprentice to enter the program in 2009 at George Wetton and Julie Sullivan's place in Colorado. I came to that program in my late 20s, I guess. I'd been working on ranches in the West for a few years, but I'd grown up on the East Coast, wasn't born into this work, but came to it after college and really found myself in cowboying and working on ranches and became somewhat proficient as a ranch hand. But I wanted to step up into more of a management or leadership position and was really interested in holistic management and more progressive ways of managing cattle on grasslands, and I wanted to learn about the marketing side of the business, all kinds of things that I didn't really have the chance to develop as a ranch hand, as much as I liked that work. So I was looking for a way to step up a little bit, and I heard about this program and applied and learned a ton from working with George and Julie, and had had the opportunity to learn those things that I really wanted to and hadn't had a chance to, and was able to move from that apprenticeship into a management position on a sizable place in western New Mexico as a ranch manager. So it really worked out well for me, and I've been involved with Kivira ever since. A little over a year ago, I joined the board of Kivira, which has been a real honor for me to be able to give back to that organization a bit. And now we've been a host, a mentor, my crew and I, in this new agrarian program. So it's great to be able to give other young people the same opportunities or better opportunities than what we had. And we've got a good crew here who really enjoy teaching people and bringing young people along, helping them get a start, and then seeing them go on and make their own way.
And Sam, what was your post-college exposure to ranching? What kind of operations were you on, and how was that experience for you?
Well, I was really lucky, actually. I moved to Montana to build a house for my mother. I'd studied architecture in college, and she got a little piece of land out there and wanted to build a house. I went out there to work on that, and in the meantime, wound up doing some odd jobs on a ranch just down the road, and I had a horse. I could ride a little bit. They eventually hired me on, and I started riding with the crew, and pretty soon I was hired as a ranch hand. And that place was a pretty progressive place. It was running custom grazing, a couple thousand yearlings every summer. They'd been practicing holistic planned grazing since the 80s, and it wasn't too big of a place, so it was manageable for somebody new, green, like me coming in to learn, to get a chance to learn, but to be exposed to all of that good work. So I got a sense of how good it could be and what kind of really creative opportunities there were in that kind of ranching. And I stuck with it and worked on plenty of other ranches around Montana, learning as I went. Some places were more conservative, some were bigger, some smaller. But I had really good teachers just about everywhere I went. I found that people really want to share their way of life. Ranchers, even more conservative old school ranchers, are proud of what they do and really want to teach. And when they have curious young people come along, even if they come from totally different backgrounds like I did, they were very generous and really interested in teaching me and sharing their skills. And so I was very fortunate to be able to learn everywhere I went, and I feel like I use that knowledge just about every day.
Yeah, that's a good segue. How do you feel that the New Agrarians Apprenticeship Program has set you up for success long-term in the ranching industry?
I think that the most important thing that this program offers to Kivira is Kivira's network. It's a community. It's sort of a tribe of like-minded ranchers and conservationists and scientists from all over the world, really, who share common goals for the land and have found ways to work together creatively toward those goals. It's sort of a hub for like-minded ranchers in particular in this industry, and a really strong professional network for us who are already in operation, and for people like me 10 years ago coming up through this program and then graduating from it, having a network of support right there, people who I could learn from and visit and and connect me with other resources.
Now you find yourself on the other side of that program, right? You're hosting apprentices?
Yes.
How has that continued to benefit you as a ranch manager hosting apprentices on your ranch?
Well, it's a really good deal for us. We get motivated, committed, intelligent young people who want to come work, and we pay them a bit. We pay them about $800 a month, which is not much, but at the same time, they get a place to live, and they get all this experience, and then they get the value of this network when they come out of the program. So it doesn't just benefit us, but aside from the practical benefits of having somebody working for us like that, it's just really fulfilling and meaningful to us as mentors to have people to teach and to share what we do with. It makes the work, which is good work, but often kind of lonesome, where out here by ourselves a lot, it makes the work mean more when we share it with somebody else, and then they learn and go on and do good somewhere else.
Sarah, how would someone go about becoming part of this program if they wanted to? What's the process look like for the apprentice that wants to be in the program? What would they, I mean, how far are they having to travel? What are some of the places they could go to become apprentices? Some of those different things, I guess.
Sure. So we, almost all of our apprenticeships right now are about 8 months in duration. Most of them run March to November, but we have several in California, and their growing season is slightly different. So those sort of work on the opposite timeline, where they begin in October and wrap up in March. We have, I think, four or five in Colorado, a handful in New Mexico. This year we have, I think, three or four in Montana, and then a couple in the Bay Area and just north of there in California. If folks want to apply, the application is on our website. It's a little bit of a long application, but one of the things that we sort of pride ourselves in this program on is spending a lot of time on that application process to ensure that people that we are placing with mentors are really a good fit, that they're motivated to do the work, that they're prepared to do the work, and are going to be able to stick it out for the whole 8 months. And I think also it's important to know about the program that we sort of are targeting people who are entering their first career, but, you know, I talked a little bit before about how it's an opportunity for people who are not necessarily coming from an agricultural background to enter those kinds of careers. We also have folks who apply to the program who are coming from ag families, but maybe want to learn a different way, a different production model. You were talking about wanting to learn about sheep, and I think that that's a perfect example. Or we had a gal in the program 2 years ago who her family runs a pretty large, relatively conventional dairy in Wisconsin, and she was wanted to learn about, you know, doing a grass-based dairy, and so she signed up with our apprenticeship in Durango. So I would say that, yeah, folks can apply at our website, careercoalition.org, and that there are a lot of opportunities all over the West that we're offering. And as Sam mentioned earlier, we are going to be expanding the program in the coming 3 years. And ideally, we will be bringing into the program more ranchers in Montana, in Wyoming, and in South Dakota to offer these kinds of educational opportunities. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. And what is the process for a rancher who wants to be involved look like? Are they footing the bill for the the apprentice, or is that part of Kavira, or is it a shared deal? And then how would they go about, is there an application process for them, or how would that work?
There's an application on our website also for mentors or for ranchers who are interested in becoming mentors. I'm also happy to take phone calls if somebody's interested and wants to learn more. I'm very happy to just chat with somebody. And we, in terms of the how the program is structured financially, it really depends on the operation and what their need is. And sort of what their capacity is as a teacher, and we look at a lot of different factors. So we have a number of our apprenticeship opportunities are fully funded by the rancher because it is a good way for them to get labor that is affordable while being able to teach and have a good reciprocal relationship with the person that's working there. But we also do provide stipend subsidy to some of the mentors that we work with. And then we get sort of creative also with how to help figure out how to fund the apprentice to make sure that they're getting paid a fair wage for their work while they're there. This last year we hosted several workshops on some of the ranches where we have these apprenticeships that were land health workshops. There was a fee for those workshops, and we were able to find sponsorship for those workshops, which then creates an income stream for that rancher to be able to offset some of the costs of having an apprentice there. And, you know, the money piece aside, I think that sort of more important is a real passion both for the work, for the land, for the livestock, but also a love for teaching, because not everybody is really geared that way, but there are folks out there who are exceptional teachers of their skills and craft, and those are really the individuals that we're looking for. One of the things we offer to mentors also is we have a training program, so we don't sort of throw people up in cold. We do a lot of work to help prepare the ranchers we work with to have a young person come on. We talk them through everything from the application process to what are some of the interpersonal communication skills that you might need to develop when you're bringing a young person on who maybe hasn't had that much experience on a ranch, to how to put together a really basic skills checklist to make sure that that person is learning the skills that they need to learn while they're there. So we offer a lot of different types of support in the program to ensure that everybody's getting a good experience.
Yeah, I noticed one of the job titles on the Round River Resource Management in Rush, Colorado, with Lewis Martin, who was a guest I had recommended to me that I have to get around to getting in touch with. But one of the job titles there on that ranch is a person in charge of people, and that's we've talked a lot about it on the Working Cows podcast about how important that is to be able to manage people relationships in a ranching business. So very encouraging to hear that you guys are taking care of that in your training program for mentors. Sam, I'd like to turn back to you and talk a little bit about opportunity that is currently available at the Triangle P Cattle Ranch there in Mescalero, New Mexico. You guys are open taking applicants right now, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We're taking applicants through January 1st.
And what is the nature of the work? What are you guys doing there? What kind of operation are you managing?
Oh, we have a cattle company here. We've been based here about 4 years now. We lease land from the Mescalero Apache tribe in southern central New Mexico. It's pretty high country. We run from 6,000 to 9,000 feet in the Sacramento Mountains. So it's good cow country. As far south as it is, it's not as hot as you might think. It's pretty pleasant and good grass country. We run one resident herd of mother cows, about 500 mother cows, and then stock up with yearlings in the summer, depending on the season, depending on the precipitation and forage conditions. We'll run up to 1,000 head of yearlings. And then we have some other outside leases and feed some cattle, finish some cattle, depending on the year and the market and things like that. But the apprentice would be based at our main camp where we run our mother cows. And they would mostly work with our manager there, Jeff Gossage, taking care of those mother cows and helping out in other aspects of the operation so that they would be exposed to a lot of different things. But they would mostly be focused on that land. It's about 40,000 acres on the north side of this place, and they would become pretty intimately acquainted with those cows. They'd be starting in March, which is when we'd be in the middle of our calving season, and we'd keep an apprentice here through the main fall works, through weaning and pregnancy testing, so they'd get to see the whole cycle on the ranch, starting from the lower country in the winter, where we're calving, and then branding in the spring, drifting the cows west up into the higher country, running them in the summer pastures up in the mountains, and then coming back down in the fall, gathering, weaning, and we keep all our calves, wean them across the fence from their mothers, keep them on grass for 45 days or so, and then ship them, usually to wheat pasture, and then pregnancy test the cows in the fall. Most of the work is horseback. We monitor the cows on an almost daily basis, horseback, feed a little supplement in the winter, ride a lot of fence year-round. That's all horseback.
Well, I could say that I'm jealous of whoever gets that job. Sounds like a great
it's
gig.
It's good work. It's good work. It's pretty rustic. We have very low overhead operation. We try to just one or two pickups and a little house and some corrals, and that's about it. Our apprentice would live in a camper. It's a decent camper, but it's kind of rustic.
It's rustic, but it's very beautiful.
And kind of typical. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place, but that's the way it is on a lot of working ranches. It's not fancy, but the scenery is pretty beautiful. It's kind of an honest picture, I think, of what it takes to make a ranch work in a low overhead lease situation like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. And this is kind of a question as we point towards wrapping up. What do you guys, both of you, see this program? What part do you see this program playing in addressing the issue facing the ranching industry with the age of ranchers, and how is that playing out in your mind? Sarah, we'll start with you.
Sure. It's a big issue in all kinds of agriculture. I guess for me, I'm real hopeful about it, even though we don't have a ton of folks who are offering this kind of training. We have a really high success rate of folks entering ranching careers and staying in them. Just I think that Sam is sort of a testament to the success and that we're actively crafting a more intergenerational culture, and one that still relies on the family, but that is broader than that and creates a network of folks who are a lot of different ages who are doing this work and are sharing the knowledge that they have. Because I think that is a really critical piece of how we resolve that challenge of an aging ranching population. It's about building community and having a community that, represents a lot of different types of people, creates opportunities for those folks to participate in land stewardship and really good livestock production.
Before we turn to Sam, Sarah, it comes to my mind that part of this process is maybe a flattening out of the org chart of the typical ranch, where whereby people are given authority maybe at an earlier rate, at an earlier time than, you know, the typical case we hear of in a lot of agricultural situations is that the son gets to take over when he's 60, and then by the time he's 90, he figures it's about time to turn it over to his son, who's also 60, and it just keeps going that way, whereas we hand off some of those decision-making, some of that decision-making authority earlier on. Those people get a chance to have some skin in the game, so to speak, and make some decisions, and they are respected as equals, I guess. Is that kind of playing to what you're talking about?
I think it absolutely does, and I think that it also creates some space for folks to think about other models of succession and different ways in which that power structure can be shared and handed off. I think that, you know, there's the situation you described, but there's also the situation where, you know, whoever is the generation coming up doesn't necessarily want to go back to the farm or go back to the ranch. And I think that what our program also addresses is it creates relationships where the generation that is ready to retire potentially has some other options. And through the long-term relationships that are established in our program, my hope is that we start to see people coming up with solutions that fit what their operation is to help transition those businesses, whether it's to somebody who's in the family or, in a partnership with somebody that they've trained. So, yeah, it's a big issue, but I'm hopeful that we're helping to address it.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that. Sam, what do you think? What part does this play in addressing this issue of the aging population of ranchers and farmers, for that matter, in our industry?
Oh, well, I agree with everything Sarah said. It's all about building community and connections and really establishing pretty formal credentials for people to come out of this program, go somewhere and build their connections. Success in this world is so reliant on personal connections, and I think that's invaluable for young people, especially people coming into it from outside. And the other thing I was thinking is that there's a way in which people who come to this program, who go through the application process and stick with the work, have made a really conscious decision based on a passion for this work, for the land. And they're here because they want to be here, and most of them are really overqualified, or you might say overeducated, for this kind of work. But they've chosen it. We've chosen it because it's what we want to do. And I think this program is a way to get those people to work, to make sure that the people who are passionate about the work and the land have a chance. Oftentimes, people who wind up on the land aren't there because they necessarily chose it. Maybe they'd rather be doing something different. Maybe that rancher's son would rather be doing something different, but because he was born there, he thinks it's what he needs to do. When there's a kid in the city who might be a natural, but doesn't realize that he has the opportunity, this is a program to allow those ranches whose owners are passionate about it but can't stay with it and they're getting older to have somebody who really wants to be there come in and become a professional.
I know that I said that we were pointing towards wrapping up, but I've been a pastor for 12 years, and you know what it means when a pastor says in conclusion, right? Absolutely nothing. Sam, I do just have one more question for you. Would you talk a little bit about your process of going from ranch hand to ranch manager? Because I think that's a fitting way to kind of wrap this up as far as the discussion about the apprenticeship is concerned.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still in the process of that transition, and I'm still a cowboy. I'm still a ranch hand, and I hope to be for a long time. At the same time, I'm managing other people and responsible for a lot of cattle and money, and it's quite a bit different. But I think it was really good for me to work for a number of different people before I took responsibility like that, to see what works and what doesn't, to see whose leadership was inspiring and whose was frustrating, to see how people responded and how cattle responded and how land responded to different kinds of management. I was learning all the time, and I still am. And now, as a manager, I think I'm able to have a little more sympathy and be able to look from a worker's or an apprentice's perspective at what's going on and try to set things up for them to succeed, for us all to succeed. But it's a challenge. It's the biggest challenge that there is. And we're all still working on it. But I think that having a formal program like this, where learning is a specific goal, is really useful to all of us, even for people who aren't apprentices. For my business partners and other employees, I think they're energized and glad to have somebody there who's just excited about learning and to feel like we all have something to offer once in a while.
Do you find yourself in the shoes of a mentor noticing things that you are noticing because there's an apprentice watching or seeing that this needs to be pointed out, whereas in some other cases you might just be doing it on autopilot?
Oh, yeah. I become conscious of certain details that matter that we need to point out and which details we need to let slide so that a person can concentrate on what's most important for them to learn at that time and also to get the job done. There are things like making sure that cattle have water and checking the level in a storage tank. If a person forgets to check that, that's a pretty big deal. If they miss a broken wire in a fence that they were supposed to check, and they forgot to check the water in the storage tank, I'd concentrate on the water, because that's a really big deal. There are little details that we learn to let slide so that we can focus on the big picture. And at the same time, we try to talk about what's going on in the broader context of the operation, so that a person isn't just learning to fix fence or check water, but get some sense of where we're going with the cattle and why we're doing what we're doing. It's nice to have somebody who's interested in that and be able to talk about that instead of just managing employees for daily chores.
Thank you guys so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Couple of things that come to my mind as we point towards wrapping up for real this time is that the diversity of the opportunities in the New Agrarians Apprenticeship Program. There's pastured poultry, there's sheep, there's a tree nursery, there's cattle ranches, all kinds. And I imagine that with the expansion into Western South Dakota and Wyoming, there might even be more diversity there of opportunities. The other thing that I will say is that the Kavira Coalition is incredibly reachable, very reachable. I reached out to them when I saw this opportunity, and Sarah got right back to me, and we set this up and had a reasonably quick turnaround time getting three people scheduled matched up so we could sit down, and I really appreciate that. So I'm excited about what you guys are doing. Just as a by way of reminder, there's a bunch of different ones, I think 13 or 14 apprenticeship opportunities, and most of them have their application process open right now through January, is that right, or through January 1st?
ideally through January 1st, but we'll keep the applications open as until we have the positions filled with qualified candidates. So I'd say if you hear this and you're interested, don't delay. Go and fill out an application. But they will be open for a little while.
Okay. Yep. That's good to hear. So, again, I appreciate your guys' time. I appreciate the Down to Earth podcast, Planet to Plate podcast. Very, very good stuff there. Another resource that people should be taking advantage of at every opportunity. So check that out. Thank you for your work, and thank you for your time, Sam and Sarah.
Thank you, Clay.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Really appreciate their time. Very much a great program, very much a much-needed program in the industry, very much a very cool opportunity, diversity of opportunities there represented by that New Agrarians program. And as I said, and I've said a number of times on the podcast, very much appreciate the Kavira Coalition and the podcast that they produce there. So if you want to check any of that out, again, as I said in the opener, I neglected to mention it during the episode, workingcows.net/65 is the show notes page for today. There will be links to Sam's apprenticeship specifically, as well as the full list of the apprenticeships that the Kavira Coalition offers. So you can go ahead and check that out and see if you want to join them. So I know I said at the end of episode 64 that we were going to be sharing an interview with Tim Goodnight from Faro Cattle Company. That is actually coming up next, so you will be receiving an episode next week on the Working Cows podcast talking about the grass-finished beef that they just harvested at Faro Cattle Company from Cactus Feeders in Texas. So look out for that, number 66 of the Working Cows podcast next week.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.